Word Jam.
What the boys really talk about. Sure, the boys do talk about pussy and tits and ass. And the ones from hunting families talk about rifles and ammo and guns, while lots of the boys have a particular interest in sports of one kind or another, depending on where they're from and their backgrounds and loyalties. South Americans go gonzo for football, what we call soccer, and North Americans go brain dead over practically any kind of sport that requires a hat or a helmet. The boys have been known to joke and crack wise about penises and feats of manhood and the masculine art of drinking too much booze. The boys talk shit. That's a fact. But they talk about more than that. They talk about things they'd rather not let you know they talk about. And I'm not just talking about the fags. And here's a tip about the boys. They don't divide out into thems that talk to queers and thems that don't. And some of the most macho guys are the queerest sorts. Some guys, really manly guys, talk about clothes and their relationships. No shit, they do. Some very macho boys have been known to cry in order to show how very manly they are, so full of piss and vinegar and don't-give-a-crap attitude that they openly weep, show their love for small animals and their sensitivity to the world's sorrowful state of poverty, pain, and decline. Yep, those fellows are out there. Look into a soldier's eyes. Gauge the facial expression of a shot-put artist, or take a good whiff of a ruthless CEO of a major global conglomerate, and you'll get what I'm talking about, what the boys really talk about. Boys who are real men talk about art. Not pussy art, mind you, but the hard, stiff, erect, stand-up, penetrating, invasive, assertive, but pleasure-giving art that strokes the world into a state of orgasm. If you get my drift. I am royally sick of the way women talk about what men talk about. Women talk about locker room jabber like they've been sitting in men's locker rooms listening to guys forever. That's one difference between us. We might just really get off on the gals moving into the locker room one day and joining us in the showers, getting to know how we really are. For that matter, most of us don't care to hang out in men's locker rooms. We'd much rather hang out in the women's locker room. And the boys who too get jollies hanging in the men's rooms, they're men too. Some sissies are tough motherfuckers. But that's too real for most women. What do the boys really talk about? They talk about the orchestration, the sound design, the costumes and lighting, and the performances of actors in the latest best cinematic production to reach the biggest screen downtown. Not a stupid action film full of explosions and car chases, though possibly an artful Western. They talk about architecture. An interior design that fucks with their brains. I've heard the boys debating color theory in relationship to psychological states and moods. Very heated exchanges. One that nearly came to fists when a PhD in physics dissed a sociologist for his opinions concerning the color maroon. The boys can be unpredictable, ladies and gentlemen. Beer? Sure. Wine? You betcha. Spirits of all varieties. Damn straight. What the boys talk about, or will talk about, is anybody's guess. The boys are poets. Honest. The boys can tie language into knots, untie it, stretch it like salt taffy, roll it into a basketball, and shoot it through a hoop.
Thank you. steal his clothes. He was dressing in the high school parking lot. Bobby would fill his mouth with potatoes. He would shoot across the room. Shoot across the room. Shoot across the room. So we went out east to Bobby Fuller's house to cut ourselves a Killer Dilla record, and Tickler was its name. Well, Tickler was an instant Krasno hit, so we put out another, and that was it. We won the battle of the band while the night dreamers dreamed on. Society, Upper Valley, Sun Queen, Country Club Band. Yeah, we are the big Cadillac money in the Sack Jack Band. We'd be pleased to make some money from you, honey, tonight at the Sun Queen's Dance and Sand. Everything's going right. Everything's going right. Everything's going right. Everything's going right. Going right. Everything's going right. Why, oh, why does Murphy come and tap you on the shoulder? He's always breaking into a slow dance. All good things come to pass, and the Sherwood's claim to fame wouldn't last. You're playing too soft. You're playing too soft. You sing too much. You sing too much. Your singing is off. I gotta study for a test. My wife is really mad at me. I gotta get a real job. This really good band wants me to play with them. I need to broaden my horizons. This thing is getting really old. It ain't going nowhere. Well, you take all of this garbage and you put it in a sack, throw it in a dumpster, walk on down the road, never, never looking back. Well, the Sherwoods have finally become collectible, just like a 52 Chevy. The songs they sang make up the oldie moldy radio show. You know, smooth and soft, nothing really heavy. They're spread all over the corners of the earth, making money, making medicine, making music, making lots of people rock. Don't wear their velvet colored suits no more, but I'll bet Billy still wears them white socks. Now, Henry and Eddie would be making people happy in El Paso, while Bobby is playing the ER fix-it-up man, and Billy's making songs in Nashville, positive songs that say I can. So how do you end a song about a band that had a little bit of glory? Do you round them up, all those memories, and put them on a train?
This next tune is medley.
Okay.
I always wanted to write a song that was a medley, but wasn't, you know, I made bits of it, so it wasn't really a medley. I call this one a medley of old songs, just to kind of give it the cred of olden day stuff. So there's five tunes in it. I wanted to tell you the titles before I started, so you can kind of follow along with the feel of it. The first tune is called Wheelbarrow. It's sort of like a working day sort of song. And then the next one is called Swiftly to Your Leisure. The one after that is called Tip the Hat. And double meaning of tipping the hat to somebody and also tipping the hat of the performer who's busking. After that is a song called Goodbye Boys and Girls, kind of a sad tune. one song called The Bellamy Club, and then the short reprise after that. So this is Wheelbarrow.
two observations, Buenos Aires. Journal entry, Monday, January 14, 2008. 1. Sitting at a seat before a wall-sized window oriented toward the corner, as many cafes are oriented to the corner, and two delightful events are performed before me. The first one involves an old grandma in a cotton dress, stooped over to help two children, presumably her grandchildren, with their ice cream, melting too quickly for the knee-high little boy who appears to be about 2.5 years old. The boy's sister looks all of 5 years old, and the grandma quickly folds back the paper from the girl's ice cream on a stick, and the girl competently returns to licking and biting, only dropping small bits of the ice cream and chocolate coating to the sidewalk. The majority of the grandma's stooped time involves folding back white wrapping from the little boy's ice cream. She scrunches back her upper lip, revealing her yellowing top teeth, and bites to keep melting ice cream from dropping off the side of the stick, hands it back to the little tyke, who has difficulty holding the ice cream as he squeezes the slick paper in his hand. The old grandma quickly snatches the ice cream back for another bite and an adjustment before passing it off to the two-year-old again. This time, he tightly grips the wooden stick and concentratedly eats much of the ice cream and remaining chocolate coating, dropping to the sidewalk just 4 feet from my window seat. And off they all toddle as he happily works on what little of his treat remains. 2. My second observation from my window seat is more of a fleeting image. A chunky, jowly, middle-aged woman crosses the intersection and passes before my window. She pushes an empty stroller and carries a fat old dog, a boxer if I'm not mistaken, over her shoulder. It is strange to see her with that big sack of a mutt on her shoulder. But I also wonder if the empty stroller is intended for the dog. I will never know, of course, which is what will keep this simple event lively in my mind. Does she sometimes strap that roly-poly dog into the stroller and take it for a stroll in the carriage like some weird science experiment of a child? The tabloid might read, "Woman who gives birth to boxer, seen taking it on strolls in her neighborhood." Maybe she's on her way to pick up a child, or just dropped one off, and the dog has a bad ankle. I don't want to know.
28.